We will talk today about the rites of the church fasts that we have in our church. The word fast or siyam or som is a Hebrew word which means covering the mouth. And through the application of its meaning means stopping the mouth from food or speech. So the word siyam or som in Hebrew means covering the mouth. In Greek, in Biblical Greek, as it has been written in the New Testament, the word nestio, which means abstaining from doing anything, especially sin. Abstaining from doing anything, especially sin. And in English, the word fast means abstinence, especially of the tongue and of the mouth. So the three definitions from the three languages of the word fasting, in Hebrew, it means covering the mouth and stopping the mouth from food and speech. From the Greek, it means abstaining from doing anything, especially sin. And in the English, it means abstaining, abstinence of the tongue and of the mouth. And the word breakfast that we hear, of course, every day, the word breakfast is basically two words, break and fast, meaning you break the fast. So when a person has breakfast in the morning, he's breaking the fast that he has started at midnight of that day. The church definition of fasting means abstaining from food and drink for a specified period, beginning at midnight and breaking the fast with light meals free from animal products. So in the church, when we talk about fasts, we are talking about for a period of the time that we are abstaining from eating or drinking anything, beginning from midnight, and then when we break the fast by eating something that's light, that's free from any animal products. The first biblical fasts that was mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God ordered Adam and Eve to eat from all the trees except for one. And this is the very first mention of an applicable fast that's mentioned in the scriptures, that God gave them a commandment, you can eat from every tree except for one tree. So he has given them some kind of abstinence from a specific kind of tree. As we read in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. After the fall of man, God permitted man to eat only vegetarian food and herbs. As mentioned in Genesis 3, you shall eat the herbs of the field. And as the church fathers explain, that at this point, when man has fallen from his first nature, from his complete nature, he was prone to diseases, he was prone to weaknesses, and so God allowed him to eat the herbs. That's where we get our medicine from, even nowadays. So in order for him to preserve his health, he allowed him to begin eating of the herbs of the earth. Meat was not allowed until after the flood, the time of Noah, after Noah entered the ark, and the Lord flooded the entire earth. When he came out of the ark, God allowed after that the eating of meat. There are basically four main categories in the church, four main categories of fasts. First of all, there's the general or congregational fasts. These are the fasts that everybody in the church is required to keep. There are preparatory fasts for sacraments. There are special fasts, and then there are personal fasts. First, the general or the congregational fasts. They are, first of all, the fasts of Wednesdays and Fridays of every week. We have the Advent, which is the fast before the Nativity, the birth of Christ. We have Nineveh's fast. We have the Holy Great Fast. We have the Apostles' Fast, we have the Virgin's Fast, and then we have the Paramon Fast, and we'll explain each one of these. There's also different levels of these congregational fasts. The first level, or level one, this kind of fast is observed with strict asceticism and abstinence. This is a very high level fast, observed with strict asceticism and abstinence. No seafood is allowed, and the types of fasts that fall into this level are the Wednesday and Friday fast, Nineveh's fast, the Great Fast, the Holy Pascha week, and the Paramon. The second level of fasts is less strict than level one, where seafood is allowed, and this includes the Advent and the Apostles' Fast. And the third level are fasts that originally were not mandated by the church as general or congregational fasts, but have been added later on. They are less strict, where seafood is allowed, and in that category we have the Virgin's Fast. So we have three categories. First, the Wednesday and Friday fasts. This is a level one fast. It's observed with strict asceticism. Abstinence until the ninth hour, which is approximately 3 p.m. It's observed without seafood. It has been established ever since the apostolic age. And we fast every week, Wednesday and Friday, except in the holy 50 days and if it falls on a major feast of the Lord. So every week of the year, we fast 2 days, Wednesday and Friday, except if it falls during the holy 50 days, which are between the Feast of the Resurrection and the Feast of the Pentecost. Wednesday recalls the betrayal of Judas to Christ, and Friday recalls the crucifixion. The next fast is the Advent fast. This is a level two fast. And abstinence is kept until the ninth hour. Seafood is allowed in this fast. It's a joyful fast. Even during the midnight praises of Kiak, we find all the hymns and all the praises are very joyful. We are in anticipation of the coming of the Lord, and so we are joyful for that. It is 43 days. 40 days commemorates the fast that Moses fasted on the mountain to receive the word of God, the Ten Commandments. And so just like Moses fasted 40 days to receive the word of God, we also fast 40 days to receive the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be born after this fast. And then there's also 3 days, which are for the miracle of the moving of the mountain of Muqattam. This fast is concluded with the Feast of the Nativity, which always falls on 29 Kiyak. The next fast is Nineveh's fast. It's a level one fast observed with strict asceticism and abstinence until sunset, until 6 p.m. If you remember, the Advent was kept only until the ninth hour, 3 p.m., but with Nineveh's fast, and as we will see with the Great Fast, it's more strict, more abstinence until sunset. Without seafood, this is a fast of repentance. It's 3 days. And this is originally established by the Syrian Orthodox Church and mandated by Pope Abraham ibn Zar'a to start fasting it in the Coptic Orthodox Church. It commemorates the fast of the people of Nineveh at the preaching of Jonah the prophet and always occurs 2 weeks before the beginning of the Great Fast. Next, we have the Holy Great Fast. The Holy Great Fast is the holiest of all the fasts. It's a level one fast, very strict asceticism, abstinence until sunset, without seafood, and it's a fast of repentance. And even we find the difference, for example, in the fast of the Holy Great Fast, all the hymns and all the praises are more in a more mournful tone versus, for example, the praises and hymns of the Advent fast. It's 55 days, which is, there's a preparation week at the beginning to prepare for the holy 40 days, and it is to replace the Saturdays of the 40 days on which there is no abstinence, because in the church we don't fast with abstinence on Saturdays and Sundays. So in order for us to fast a complete 40 days, the church fathers have established to add 1 week at the beginning to replace the Saturdays that we would not be fasting with abstinence. Then we have the 40-day fast, which commemorates Christ's fasting on the mountain. Originally, it was fasted immediately after the Feast of Epiphany. Just like the Lord Christ, after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness and he began his fast. But at the time of Pope Demetrius I, he united it with the Bascha week, and so it was moved a little bit later. And then the last week is the Holy Bascha week. So it's three fasts together, a preparation week, the Holy 40 days, and the Holy Bascha week. The Holy Bascha week is the holiest week of the year. It's a level one fast, strict asceticism. All 6 days are fasted, including Saturday. This is the only Saturday of the year that we fast with abstinence. It's concluded on the seventh day, which is the Resurrection Sunday. Bright Saturday, which is a Saturday right before the resurrection, is the only Saturday fasted with abstinence. As we said, all other Saturdays are without abstinence because Saturday signifies the day on the which the Lord rested. But this Saturday is fasted because the Lord was buried in the tomb. And according to the rites, the liturgy of Bright Saturday should end immediately before sunset. So according to the original rites of the church, the liturgy that we hold on Bright Saturday should end immediately before sunset, so that way we keep abstinence of that day. In some of the church canons and the writings, the writings of Awlad al-Assal, it says the following about the Holy Pascha week. It says, during these 6 days, the Paschal week, you eat only bread and salt with water. No meat or wine shall be consumed in these 6 days because they are days of sorrow. As for Friday and Saturday, those who can should fast them together as one day. So the church put a lot of emphasis on this Holy Week because, of course, this is the week that Christ was enduring the suffering for our sake. The next fast is the Apostles' Fast. It's a level 2 fast. Abstinence only until the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. Seafood is allowed in this fast, and this is a fast of service. And this fast is commanded by the Lord, as we read in Mark chapter 2, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. They were asking the Lord Jesus Christ, why do your disciples not fast, and the Pharisees and the scribes fast? And he told them, no one can make the friends of the bridegroom fast as long as the bridegroom is with them, but when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. And this is exactly what happens after the Feast of the Ascension, when the Lord ascends to heaven, and after the Feast of the Pentecost, when he sends down the Holy Spirit, then the church begins to fast the Fast of the Apostles. It's a fast of service because this is what the apostles did before they began the service. They fasted. The days of the apostles' fast can range anywhere from 15 days to 49 days. It always begins on the day following the Feast of the Pentecost and is concluded with the Feast of the Apostles, which is 5 Abib. So if the Feast of the Resurrection comes early in the year, and so the Feast of the Pentecost would also come early, then the time between the Feast of the Pentecost and the Feast of the Apostles would be long, maybe up to 49 days. If the Feast of the Resurrection comes later in the year, you know, the Feast of the Resurrection can move anywhere from April or May until June or something like that. So depending on when the Feast of the Resurrection falls, then we begin counting 50 days after that is the Feast of the Pentecost, and then after that, the day after that, up until the 12th of July is the Apostles' Fast. The Virgin's Fast, this is a level 3 fast in which seafood is allowed. It's 15 days. It's concluded with the Feast of the Assumption of her body into heaven on August 22nd, which is 16 Misra. This fast was fasted by the apostles to see the vision of the assumption of her body as witnessed by St. Thomas. When the disciples went to bury the body of Our Lady, St. Mary, St. Thomas, the disciple, was not with them. He was preaching in India. And after they buried her body, he was taken from India to come back to Jerusalem. And as he was coming, he saw a vision of the body of Our Lady St. Mary being taken up to heaven with the angels and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he returned to Jerusalem and they told him that St. Mary had departed, he told them, I have to see her body. I want to take the blessing. So when they went to the body and when they went to the tomb and they opened it, they did not find the body of Our Lady. And so he told them the vision that he saw, and they fasted so that they can see this vision again. This fast was originally fasted by the ascetics and the virgins, and the church realized that everyone was fasting it anyway. And so it was added to the congregational fasts in the Council of Constantinople. This is maybe the only fast in which the people asked the church to add to the fasts. Yes. assumption means the taking of her body. We don't say the ascension of her body because she did not ascend by herself like the Lord did, but she was assumed. It's the assumption of her body. Then we have the Paramon fast. Paramon comes from a Greek word paramino, which means to await or anticipate. And this fast is usually the day before the feasts of Nativity and Epiphany, the feasts of the birth and the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to apostolic tradition, this fast is kept until sunset. It's a great spiritual preparation observed with strict asceticism and abstinence and without seafood. According to the writings in the Synaxarium of Tuba 10, it says the following: if Nativity or Epiphany falls on Wednesday or Friday, the saintly apostles ordain that the believers eat all the food that one is permitted to eat during the Pentecostal days. They are feasts to the Lord. The Paramoni days are fasted to compensate for those feast days so that we may have the blessing of both the fast and the feast. So, because sometimes the Feast of Nativity and the Feast of Epiphany, they can fall any day during the week. If they happen to fall on a Wednesday or a Friday, they break that fast. And so in order for the church to keep the Wednesday and the Friday fast, they have appointed the paramon or the preparation or the anticipation days before the feast so that we can take the blessing of both the feast and the fast at the same time. The paramon days, if the feast falls on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, anywhere between Saturday and Friday, we fast one day. So if, for example, if the feast of Nativity falls on a Tuesday, then the paramon would be the day before it, the Monday. If it falls on a Saturday, then it would be the day before it, which is Friday. If the feast falls on Sunday, so the day before it would be what? Saturday. We cannot fast with abstinence on Saturday, except for the one Saturday, which is Bright Saturday. So for that reason, we fast 2 days. So we fast Friday, because on Friday we can fast with abstinence, and then we fast Saturday, and then the feast is Sunday. If the feast falls on Monday, then the paramon should be the day before, which is Sunday. We cannot fast with abstinence on Sunday because it's the Lord's day, the day of resurrection. So the day before it would be Saturday. We cannot fast because it's the Sabbath, the day of rest for the Lord. So we fast the day before, so we have 3 days for paramon. Right. Yeah, so if, for example, in Nativity, we're already fasting. We're fasting the Advent anyway. But during those 3 days or 2 days or the paramon days, this is more of a strict fast, fasting, more abstinence, more asceticism, longer hours that we abstain. So those are the congregational fasts, the common fasts that all the people are required to fast. There are preparatory fasts for the sacraments. And for baptism, according to the apostolic canons, the priest who's going to baptize and the catechumen or the child who's going to be baptized, they both fast in order to prepare for this sacrament. The Holy Eucharist, the communion, we fast at least 9 hours from midnight. At least 9 hours from midnight. So if the liturgy is going to end at 9 a.m., so we fast from midnight, that's 9 hours. But if it's going to end at 10 a.m., we don't fast from 1 a.m., we fast from midnight. If the liturgy is going to end before 9 hours, so if we have a liturgy that's going to end, for example, at 7 o'clock in the morning, then we fast 9 hours before that, which would bring us to 10 p.m. the day before. So it's at least 9 hours from midnight. There are special arrangements for children and for people who are ill, and this, of course, with the consultation of the Confession Father, but usually at least they fast during the liturgy. Yeah, and even if somebody has a child and he's going to bring him to take communion, it doesn't make any sense for the person to feed their child during the liturgy. So at least they fast during the liturgy. But of course, all of this can be arranged with the Father of Confession. And even Pope Cyril II mandated that for preparation for the Holy Eucharist, also fasting should be of marital relationships. So a husband and wife should not have relationships with each other during this time of fasting that they're preparing for the Holy Eucharist. The sacrament of holy orders, the ordination, the priesthood. There's, of course, fasting before the ordination and fasting after the ordination. So the person who's going to be ordained a priest or a bishop is going to be fasting for a certain period of time before the ordination. And after the ordination, the priest fasts for 40 days and the bishop would fast for 1 year from the day of ordination. Of course, the only thing that breaks this fast is the holy 50 days. So even if a priest or a bishop is ordained right before the Feast of the Resurrection, he cannot fast the holy 50 days, because the holy 50 days are days of joy, and the church forbids anybody from fasting, even personal fasts, during the holy 50 days. The holy matrimony, the crowning ceremony, according to the original rite, the crowning ceremony is prayed in the morning after the raising of incense and before the divine liturgy. So obviously the bride and the groom would be fasting because they are going to partake of the divine of the holy Eucharist. And then also, according to some church teachings, there's also a 3-day fast that's usually kept after the sacrament, and this is taken from the book of Tobit in the Old Testament. The unction of the sick person and his family fasts before the unction, and then they are anointed with the oil, and usually they should also take communion after the unction of the sick. So they basically go through 3 sacraments. They should fast and confess, then they are anointed with the oil, then they take Holy Communion. Then there are special fasts, and these are fasts for unusual circumstances, for unusual reasons. This is fast that the church sets for the whole congregation for some purpose. For example, during the papacy of Pope Demetrius, when they told him you have to move the mountain of Mukattam, he declared a 3-day fast in which the whole church fasted so that God would help him in this problem. And we hear of this from time to time. You would hear that the Pope declared a 3-day fast, or the bishop declared a 3-day fast for this problem or for that problem. So these are special fasts. And finally, the last category is the personal fasts. The personal fasts are optional fasts, usually for repentance or for seeking God's help. And a person should always consult his father of confession before vowing a personal fast. So if somebody has a problem, he wants God's help with it, he wants God's guidance, he's trying to repent, then he would go and with his father of confession decide how he can put together a personal fast. And his father of confession may also set a fast for him in order to aid him in the worship or as chastisement for sins. So a person who may be falling into a sin repeatedly, his father of confession may say, you know, take 3 days to fast and try, you know, your best to overcome this temptation or overcome this sin. So we talked about the church fast. There are 4 categories. What are they? The general fasts, the fast before sacraments, the special fasts, and the personal fasts. The general congregational fast, the fast before the sacraments, the special fasts, and the personal fasts. Glory be to God forever. Amen.